Hey there, this is Emily Hoover, and we are so glad that you are listening to the Mission Point Community Church podcast. It's our prayer that this helps you grow in your relationship with Jesus and encourages you to show and share the love of Jesus everywhere you go. Thanks for tuning in. Now let's dive into the message.
I love the fact that we're in the book of 1 John. Some of you have been with us the last few weeks as we've kind of jumped into the book of 1 John. What a great book. John, the name of our series, by the way, is Love, Light, and Lies. And here's the bottom line. I mean, if we would say in one summary sentence what the book of 1 John is about, it's basically, how do you know that you are truly a Christian? There are evidences of being a child of God. It's not just a decision 20, 30, 40 years ago when I walked an aisle or I did something at a camp or at a youth group and nothing's different. John is crystal clear that changes occur in your life. In fact, he calls it, the Apostle Paul did, becoming a new creature in Christ. The old things have passed away. Behold, all things have become new and different. And so I love that about John. John, by the way, as many of you would know, was one of the 12 disciples. In fact, one of the things that I was so reminded of as I studied the passage I'll be sharing with you in chapter 3, of 1 John, is just to be reminded that the Apostle John observed the life of Jesus on a daily basis for his ministry. The Apostle John was a dear friend of Jesus Christ when he walked on the earth. So the things that John shares come from an eyewitness account. It's not somebody who read some books or heard some stories from people who knew Jesus from the past. He lived it. And to me, that gives incredible credibility to his life and his words. One of the things we're seeing about the Apostle John is he is a straight shooter. I mean, some people would look at some of the things John says and says, this guy's a little too black and white. You know, if you claim to know Christ and you don't walk in righteousness, you're a liar. If you claim to be a follower of Jesus and you don't love your brothers and sisters, you're a liar. He says that. Wow. Because he wants us to know that there is a change that occurs when you give your life to Jesus Christ and ask him to forgive you of your sins. The other thing that really motivates John, I believe, in this book, and again, Kondo and Michael have shared this, is false teachers had infiltrated the church. And true believers and people who loved Christ were being persuaded to walk away from the church and even tempted to walk away from the gospel, the true gospel message. And so John, in a sense, is sounding the alarm. Do not listen to them. They are false teachers. They are false prophets. So there is an incredible urgency to his words. One of the things, though, about John that I love is one of his favorite terms for the believers of the church that he's writing to is he calls them dear children. Now, John was an older gentleman by this time that he wrote this book, okay? He was. But he calls them dear children. And as I read that multiple times throughout the book 1 John, it kind of reminds me of some people that I know who call everybody sweetie and honey. You know, people like that. Those are just great people. I'm kind of in that age category now, just saying. So if you want me to call you sweetie, I will. You know, I'm good with that. But anyway, John is just not using an endearing term when he says, dear children. What John is doing here is he is saying, and this is where we're going to take a deep dive this morning, never forget that God is your Father. The God of the universe is your Father. He's not just your Creator. He's not just your Lord. He's your Father. And as we dive into chapter 3, first 10 verses today, that's kind of my assignment. I want to talk to you about what it means the implications of being a child of God. And they are powerful. So let's go ahead and turn there. 1 John chapter 3, we'll be looking at verses 1 through 10. That'll be our passage. The name of my message, I just want to tell you this, is family resemblance. Because what I want us to see this morning is if God is our Father, we need to be like Him. It just makes sense. It's just natural. It's the way that it is. You know, and I was thinking about family resemblance, how many, by the way, the staff just teases me relentlessly when I talk about my 6 grandkids, okay? I don't care. I really don't. That's fine if they want to tease me relentlessly. But I have 6 grandkids. And here's what I notice about every single one of them. They bear some aspect of the family resemblance. They do. Maybe you're with people and you talk about your kids. And people begin to share what their kids are like. Here's a few phrases that I have heard and that I have used. Oh, our middle daughter, she is our reader. I don't even know how many books she'll read this summer. She's just like her grandma. We say things like that. How about this one? Our youngest son, this kid is our athlete, who, by the way, takes after my side of the family. You know, the great athletes are my side of the family. Or how about this one? My daughter loves music and art so much. We have 25 of her drawings on our refrigerator because she won't ever let us throw them away. And by the way, my mom was a painter. She was a professional artist. Guess where my daughter gets it? We talk like that, don't we? How about this one? Our oldest son, he is his grandpa. He is my dad. He's built like my dad. He has mannerisms like my dad. It's crazy. We say things like that. That's family resemblance, right? Or maybe this one. It may be because she's the oldest, but our oldest is such a natural caregiver. She takes care of everyone. She is just like my oldest sister. Here's my point. Family resemblance is a spiritual truth as well. That's what I want us to get today. And part of the blessing of being called children of God is that you and I are to be like our Father. We are to be like our Heavenly Father. As we have been born again into His family, we are to bear the family resemblance. Okay. I need to give you context because it's really hard for me to preach a passage without saying what's going on ahead of it, because I think that's important. So Michael went through about the first half of 1 John chapter 2, and there are a couple verses in the last part of 1 John chapter 2 that I wanted to share with you to kind of lay the foundation for these first 10 verses in 1 John 3. So these will be up on the screen. Look with me at 1 John 2, verses 15 through 17. These are amazing verses. John writes, "Do not love the world or anything in the world. If anyone loves the world, love for the Father is not in them. For everything in the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, the pride of life, comes not from the Father, but from the world. The world and its desires pass away, but whoever does the will of God lives forever." You want a fascinating study? Study the word world in the Bible, because it's used in a variety of ways. I want to give you 3 real quickly. One way the word world is defined is it is literally the physical planet Earth. It's used that way. In 1 John 10, first part of verse 10 says, "He was Jesus, he was in the world, and the world was made through him." The created planet Earth is the world. Number 2, the word world can refer to all the people on Earth. last part of John 1:10, and the world did not know him. That's the people. Most famous Bible verse there is John 3:16. So for God so loved, say it with me, the world, that he gave his only son. That's all the people in the world. But there's a third way that it's used, and it's used this way in 1 John 2 and other portions of the New Testament. It refers to the value system, what some call the humanistic value system of society that is in opposition to God. That's the world. A world system void of God. And that's how John's using it. And that's often how it's used in Scripture. Now, why is this foundational to the passage we're going to jump into in a moment? It's because one of the key evidences of being a child of God is not to love the world, but to love God supremely. That's foundational. To love God supremely, to not love the world or the things of this world. And that's a struggle for us. Every single one of us, isn't it? Okay, I'm gonna get started here finally in our passage. 1 John chapter 3, verse 1. This is incredible. John says, "See what great love the Father has," wonderful word, "lavished on us, that we should be called children of God, and that is what we are." This is a declaration by the Apostle John. It almost seems like John is awestruck with this truth that God is our Father, that you and I are literally children of God. I love the word lavish. Lavish. He lavished his love on us. That's what John says. And you know, these are just words of a humble, grateful believer. It's almost like the Apostle John is saying, you know what? I'll never get over this. I can't get over the fact that I get to be a child of the God of the universe. I can't get over that. I am just astounded by that, he says. This is the one who literally walked with Jesus. This is a man who saw the incarnate Son of God on a daily basis for several years, who hugged Jesus, who was called the one whom Jesus loved. And he's still awestruck by the reality that we are children of God. That's amazing, isn't it? And then in addition, I love this next phrase, and that is what we are. It's almost like he says, and that is what we are. Do you believe it? Can you believe this? And so I don't think I can overemphasize how awestruck, how blown away he is that you and I get to be children of the God of the universe. He's our Father. Let that one sink in, you guys. Let that transform the whole way you look at your life. Because I believe that that's what John, that's at the core of so much of who the Apostle John was. And he walked with Jesus when Jesus was in the flesh. So now he's going to talk about what does it mean to be a child of God? And that's what I want to share with you this morning. What does it mean to be a child of God? I have six of these for those of you who take notes, and you're like, six, how long are we going to be here, Jeff? Not that long. Okay, I promise. But I have six of these that are just mind-blowing to me. I'm so grateful I got to study this, because this has been such a, you know, Christianity 101 reminder to me about simply what it means to be a child of God. Okay, this is so incredible. Look at second part of verse 1. Again, we're in First John 3. The reason the world does not know us is that it did not know him. The reason the world does not know us is that it did not know him. And then he says, dear friends, now we are children of God, and what we will be has not yet been made known. But we know that when Christ appears, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is. And all who have this hope in him purify themselves, just as he is pure. The reason the world does not know us is that it did not know him. Here's my first characteristic, okay? Children of God are noticeably distinct. Children of God are noticeably distinct. We are to be different. We are not just here to blend in. We aren't. We are to be different in the way that we live our lives, the way we talk, the way we relate, the way we love, the way we forgive, the way we serve. We are to be different. We are called lights in this dark world. We are to be different. We are to be distinct. I want you to remember that, because I think sometimes we can have this twisted view of humility. You know, I just want to blend in. I don't want anybody to notice me. You know, I just want to kind of live my life and be a good little Christian, and that's kind of who I am. And I'm not saying everybody has to be an extrovert, because I know a lot of people aren't. How are you distinct? God has called you to be distinct. God has called you and me to be light in darkness. That's what he has called us to be if you are a child of God. What does that look like for you? What does that look like for you in your world, in your mission field? We are to be different, noticeably distinct. Here's how Peter said it in 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 9. He said, but you are a chosen people. This is to the church. You are a chosen people, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, God's special possession, that you may declare the praises of him who called you out of darkness into his wonderful light. That's how we're to be distinct, my friends. I read this and I think, you know, I think Peter is giving us the primary distinctiveness of a child of God. I think this is the key. And it's this phrase, that you may declare the praises of him. My life is not about me as a child of God. My life is about Jesus. He's who my life is about. We don't live for ourselves, that's the point. We don't live for our success, our fame, our wealth, our importance, our power, or even our legacy. Like I often hear people say, oh, I'm just building a legacy. For who? For whom? Really? We live to declare the praises of him. What does that mean in my distinctiveness? Here's what it means, my friends, that people who are around me for a while know that I am not just a Christian and a nice person, but that I live for Jesus, that he gets glory and credit for my life. And sometimes I have to verbalize that. I have to say that out loud. And you're like, ooh, people think I'm kind of weird. Go for it. Be weird for Jesus. There's a bumper sticker. I'm weird for Jesus. Do it. Go for it. Why not? Do we live for him and his praise and not ours? That's how we're different. People say, you're like really religious, aren't you? And they say, well, I don't know how religious I am, but I love Jesus, and I'm happy to talk to you or anybody about him. We should say that kind of thing. There's nothing wrong with saying that. We should talk that way. We should. Okay? Children of God are noticeably distinct. Incredible. Let's go on to verse 2. Dear friends, now we are children of God, and what we shall be has not yet been made known. I love this. This is so encouraging. Number 2, children of God are progressively transformed. You are not a finished product. Can I hear a hallelujah? Hallelujah, you are not done yet. I am not finished yet. Praise God, this isn't the finished product here. That's what he says. He says, what we will be has not yet been made known. Great. I'm happy about that. One of my favorite verses, one of my sweet daughters, Lisa, is an artist, and she painted a beautiful picture for me, and she put this verse on it, 2 Corinthians 3:18. And we all, who with unveiled faces contemplate the Lord's glory, are being transformed into his image with ever-increasing glory, which comes from the Lord, who is the Spirit. You see that? I love the way one version says it. Beholding as in a mirror the glory of the Lord, are being transformed. Here's what this says to me. The transformation comes when we contemplate the majesty, the glory, the greatness of Jesus Christ. That's the primary way you and I are transformed. So here's the big question. Do we spend daily time beholding the glory of Jesus? And yes, I say daily. Quietly before him, with maybe our Bibles open, maybe worshiping him through song, maybe just reading a psalm out loud of praise and adoration to his greatness. We are primarily, I believe the scriptures are clear, progressively transformed by being in the very presence of Jesus, and I believe to such a degree in a quiet place, in a solemn place, and contemplating and meditating on who he is. I mean, obviously the transformation can come through being taught the word of God, spending time with other godly Christians. There are other ways that God kind of changes us. But I believe so deeply, and this is my own personal experience, it's that alone time with God. It's that regular, consistent, daily, quiet time with Jesus, where he does so much of the most beautiful work in your heart and in your life. And we get to be progressively transformed. So that's my second. Children of God are always becoming more like Christ. That's the way God designed it. Okay, let's keep going. Last part of verse 2. But we know that when Christ appears, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is. Here's my third. Children of God are eternally like Jesus. We're in the process, but here's what this says. Jesus is coming back. I'll bet most of you knew that. Jesus is returning. Jesus is coming back. And we're told that when we see him, we're going to be like him. We're going to become like him in a much more significant way than we are becoming like him now. And you say, well, give me a couple facts or truths about how we're going to be more like him. I'll give you two biggies. Number one, this body that we have is going to be imperishable. That's the term that's used. No disease, no death, no decay, period. This body, new and improved, your body is going to be the body you're going to be in for out throughout all eternity. But it's going to be like very new and improved, okay? I mean, like significantly. Can you imagine no disease, no death, no decay, no aging, no aches and pains? Can you imagine sin nature gone. Sin nature gone. The theologians call that glorification. We'll be in a state of glorification. No more struggle with sin. Ever. Children of God have that as our blessed hope and our destiny, that we will eternally be like Jesus. Let that cheer you up on a hard day, right? Meditate and contemplate on that. Okay, I need to keep going. Let me give you my next one. And that is that children of God are increasingly purified. We are increasingly purified. And this is found in verse 3. So look with me at verse 3. It says, all who have this hope in him purify themselves just as he is pure. We have this hope that we're going to see Jesus. We have this hope that when we see him, we're going to be like him. Here's how that should motivate us. I want to live a godly life now. Purify, being purified means becoming more and more holy or more and more righteous. So my fourth one is that the child of God is increasingly purified. That you're becoming more righteous. How do we do that? Here's the big thing for me. There's two things I do that I think are very key in my growing in my righteousness or being pure. Number one, fill my mind with the Word of God. Why is that? Because the indwelling Holy Spirit in my life brings the Word of God to my mind often. Fill my mind and life with the Word of God, because the Holy Spirit, who is our turbocharged conscience, that's kind of one of the roles he plays. We are indwelt by the Holy Spirit, makes us so sensitive to sin. And then when that's reinforced by a command or a truth in the Word of God, I have one response. I have one legitimate response. Obey. Obey. Surrender. Obey. That's it. So I become more purified, I think, in my walk through my obedience and submission to God's truth as I am sensitized by the Holy Spirit's work in my life. And here's the other thing the Holy Spirit does. He doesn't just trigger our conscience or make us more sensitive. He gives us the power to say no to sin and yes to righteousness. Amen? He does that. He does that. And that's why you and I need to cry out to him. And that's why I pray to the Holy Spirit a lot. I need your help. I need your wisdom. I need your blessing. I need your strength. I need to turn away from that temptation. He does that. He does that. Purified. I love Colossians 2, verses 6 and 7. The Apostle Paul wrote, so then, just as you receive Christ Jesus as Lord, continue to live your lives in him, rooted and built up in him, strengthened in the faith as you were taught, and overflowing with thankfulness. Does that sound like a progressive walk with Christ throughout your life? Rooted and grounded in him. That's a journey, my friends. So let me just summarize real quickly, and then I'll wrap up here in just a moment. Let me summarize real quickly. Here's what I want you to be clear about when I'm talking about this theme of being a child of God. Children of God are distinctly like Jesus, always in the process of being transformed. We are secure in our eternity. We are pursuing purity in our lives, and we are living for the glory of Jesus, not ourselves. I mean, that's just kind of a long sentence there, but that's it. That's it. John goes on to write this in verse 4. Everyone who sins breaks the law. In fact, sin is lawlessness. But you know that he appeared so that he might take away our sins. And in him is no sin. No one who lives in him keeps on sinning. No one who continues to sin has either seen him or known him. Okay, I want to give you my number 5 characteristic. A child of God is consistently righteous. Consistently righteous, not perfectly righteous. No way. We still sin. But what we see here is that the child of God should have a lifestyle that is predominantly marked by righteousness. Do you see how John said this? He says in verse 6, No one who lives in him keeps on sinning. No one who continues to sin has either seen him or known him. He's not saying, and John earlier said, if we sin, confess, and he'll forgive. It's not that we never sin. It's that what marks our life, what is the pattern of our life, what is the predominantly lifestyle we live, is a lifestyle of righteousness. That's our pattern. That's the consistency with which we live our lives. That's his point. Again, do you see how it's so clear that when you give your life to Jesus, change needs to happen? All things become new? I think he's so clear here. And let me jump to verse 7. He says, "Dear children, do not let anyone lead you astray. The one who does what is right is righteous, just as he, Jesus, is righteous. The one who does what is sinful is of the devil, because the devil has been sinning from the beginning. The reason the Son of God appeared was to destroy the devil's work. No one is born of God. Who is born of God will continue to sin, because God's seed remains in them. They cannot go on sinning because they have been born of God." You know, living a life that is consistently righteous needs to be our lifestyle. But let me share part of the huge challenge. I mean, our flesh, our sin nature is a challenge, but so we're also in a spiritual battle, right? We are in a spiritual battle. And he talks here about the devil. And no, we are not children of the devil through faith in Jesus Christ. We're children of God, but we can be tempted. We can be deceived, can't we? I was pretty fascinated by this phrase John uses, God's seed. God's seed, in verse 9, remains in them. And some people think that, some scholars think that that's referring to kind of like, okay, he's the parent, we're the child. It's almost like there's God's DNA in us, and we are created in his image, so that's true. But I think this is probably referring to the Holy Spirit in our lives. The Holy Spirit who helps us say yes to righteousness and no to sin. Okay, look at verse 10 with me. "This is how we know that the children of God, who they are, and who the children of the devil are. Anyone who does not do what is right is not God's child, nor is anyone who does not love their brother and sister." So I want to give you number 6 characteristic, and that is the child of God is unconditionally loving. We are known by our love, unconditionally. We don't just love people like us, and we don't just love people we like. We love because he first loved us. And we saw this last week. Michael shared this, 1 John 2, verse 10. "Anyone who loves their brother and sister lives in the light, and there is nothing in them to make them stumble." Unconditionally loving is a characteristic of being a child of God. So, last thing I want to do this morning is say, rate yourself on all 6, give you a grade, and that'll just discourage a whole bunch of us. Because it's like, not so good in a number of these. Okay, we won't do that. Here's what I want to encourage you about this morning. As we look at these characteristics, what is the profile of a child of God? Are there areas of improvement? Are there ways you and I can grow? 100% me, absolutely. But it's in there, because I am a child of God. I know that. I believe that. He's affirmed that over and over for many decades in my life. And the vast majority of you are too, but there might be some this morning that aren't sure. The way you become a child of God, my dear friend, is by acknowledging that you've sinned against the holy God. All have sinned and fall short of his standard, his glory. And by simply saying, "Lord, I have sinned, and I ask Jesus to forgive me. Lord Jesus, forgive me of my sin. And he will. And here's the bonus. You get to be a child of God. Sins forgiven. Part of God's family. It's incredible. And if that has not been your experience, it can be today. Today. So let me wrap. I'm going to give you four real tiny, brief little sentences. As a child of God through Jesus Christ, number one, remember whose you are. The God of the universe is your Father. Remember whose you are. You belong to him. Number two, remember whom you represent. What makes you and me distinct above all else is we live for the glory and the name and the honor of Jesus Christ. Amen? That's the big distinction. Remember whom you represent. Number three, remember you are in process. I have no doubt as I look at you and as I look at myself, there are some of us that beat ourselves up all the time because we know our weaknesses, we know our failure, we know our shortcoming. And there are way too many of us that live with too much guilt and too much shame. And Jesus has simply said, come to me and I will forgive you. And I love you. We're in process. That's okay. Because there's a day coming when we're going to see him and we're going to be like him. And the sin nature is gone. Can't wait. Can't wait for that day. And then number four, remember your eternal destiny is secure. As people say, often, I read the last chapter and we're on the winning team. Amen? We get so worked up about so many things. And if you're a child of God, you're good for all eternity. We're good. We're good. That has taken me out of the pit sometimes. We're good. Our Father keeps his promises. So, your beloved child of God, if you know Jesus, revel in that like John, and such we are. Praise him. Let's pray together. Let's pray. Father, oh, these words are so powerful and so beautiful of who we are as children of God. Thank you for that. Give us those lenses more consistently, Father, to see ourselves as that. And it's not because of anything we've done. It's all because of what Jesus has done for us. And Lord, I'm praying for myself, I'm praying for my dear brothers and sisters here this morning, that above all else, what will make us different in the world, in our mission field, to people around us, is that we live for the glory of Christ, not ourselves. Teach us how to do that, Lord, consistently, faithfully, day after day after day, so that he would receive honor and he would receive glory. And that as people look at our lives and they see love and they see joy and they see goodness and kindness and all of those beautiful characteristics, and they notice and they say to us, why are you like the way you are? We can say, it's Jesus in me. Lord, that's what we want to say. We want to express that because of Jesus and what he does in my life. So, Father, I pray for each one of us that if that requires courage, if that requires boldness, if that requires godly confidence, whatever that means, give us a huge dose of that. So would people notice about us is Jesus in us. And again, as we have our heads bowed and as we're just in this moment, oh, I so ask, my friend, if you have never given your life, if you've never confessed your sin, if you've never asked Jesus to forgive you, you may do that today. He will. His love for you is so incredible, and he wants you to be part of his family. Thank you, Lord Jesus. May everything in our lives bring honor and glory to you. For we pray in your great name. Amen.
Thanks so much for tuning into today's message. We hope to see you next Sunday. We would love to personally invite you to one of our services at 9 and 10:45 a.m. in the Performing Arts Center in Warsaw Community High School at One Tiger Lane in Warsaw, Indiana. If you've enjoyed this podcast, please make sure to subscribe, review, and connect with us on social media by following Mission Point CC. You can also contribute to what God is doing through Mission Point. Simply visit missionpoint.net/give and give a gift today. Thanks again for joining us. Have a great week.